22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by two on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet,
Upward Orthodontics of Houghton,
and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Kembroff.
All right, well, thank you very much, everybody, and thank you very much, Josh, for that intro. We are here at Turbo Agency, as we have been promising you guys for quite a while, that we are getting ready for the opening of the Michigan Tech hockey season, and in tradition now, and it is tradition, we are here at Turbo Agency to open up the season and also to close the season like we did last year. But Jeff Mikish is here from Turbo, of course, and Bob Franti from Turbo Agency, and Jeff Mikish, a former player, head coach Joe Schott with us. Good morning, Coach. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, Dirk. Great to be here. We ended every year here, and we started every year here, and I always look forward to this visit.
It is a lot of fun. We really appreciate the Turbo Agency and everything they do for us and the community, and I guess, Jeff, we'll start off with you. This is an exciting time of the year. You remember your time as a Michigan Tech hockey player getting ready for the season, and the boys are probably itching to play somebody else right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long summer for those guys. I know, speaking with Coach over the summer, there's a lot of commitment to the off season, regimen. So those kids are, their mindset is they're very fast tracked on competing as soon as they get back on campus. And so once they start going to school, football starts, you see all the starts kicking off on TV with, college football. I just got back from the Ryder Cup. So this time of season is great. And it's just, to see players get back on the field and soon enough players get back on the ice.
Well, tell us, you can't just drop the Ryder Cup on us here and not talk about it a little bit. I mean, how cool is that?
It was something else. You know what? The one thing that stood out for me watching it, Dirk, is it's real easy to watch it on television. But then when you go to the Ryder Cup and you stand on holes right next to that lake with 30-mile-per-hour gusts and those guys continue to hit pressure shot after pressure shot on top of each other in the middle of greens and make putts. I mean, those guys are special. I mean, what the American guys did against the Europeans didn't play bad golf. They competed. The Americans were just that good. Every guy played that good. They played good in every, foursome, the match play, the different scenarios that they were in. And they did what they had to do. They went out on Friday, got a lead, and just held on to it. Europe just... You could see the frustration. Like, Sergio doesn't usually show a lot of frustration, he just constantly was shaking his head because somebody was sticking a birdie in right before him, before he had a chance to make one. So, and it gets tough, but it really was a joy. I was down there with Mike Hosworth, who's a former Husky hockey player, Mark Morosti from the golf course, another obviously player that played for the Huskies. So we had a good time. We rented a house down there and ate some good meals and watched a lot of really good golf.
So how much did you actually see? How many days were you there?
We went down on Thursday, and we watched a practice round in the morning, and then we actually went and played a real nice round of golf at Pine Hills, which is a golf club just down the road from there. Brett Hosworth, who works for Kohler, who's living back here now, but Brett used to be a member there. So he got us on. We played a great round on Thursday, and then we went all day Saturday. Mo went yesterday as well. But we went all day Saturday, and what we did is we got there in the morning, and we walked all the way out to the front, on the front side to number four, and watched all four groups come in. That was the furthest par four out on the front side on Lake Michigan before it curls back around. They start coming back towards the clubhouse. So we got to see all four of those groups, got right up close. And then once essentially they rolled through, we kind of followed them back a little bit on 5 and 6 and got up in the dunes and watched some of those shots. But then we went right out to 13 on the back and did the same thing. It's a par four right down by the lake, and those guys got to hit real tough shots. So we were right there sitting up, and you can get really close and impersonal to those guys. I mean, we had Mickelson's old caddy, what do they call him, Bones, the guy that's doing the coverage, he was literally right over our shoulder calling the hole. We were like, who's this guy talking behind us? And he was right there. So it was pretty interesting. But the youth of the American team is scary in how good those guys are. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched Morikawa for quite a bit. And he is he's a competitor. He's like, you look in his eyes and he reminds me of Sergio from the European team. He looks like he's just not going to get beat ever. And he thinks he can make every shot. He did make some miraculous shots. And like we watched him on that Saturday, he made two huge birdies coming in on 15 and 16 or 14 and 15 to have those guys go up even more at that point. So. It was special, real good event.
And the Americans were pretty heavily favored going into it, right? And,
yeah. No,
but
they
still,
were.
Still, you got to play.
Yeah, they were. I mean, when you take a look, I think the Americans had 10 of the next top 11 players in the world. Mm-hmm. Rahm, obviously, is number one, and he mm-hmm. played like he was number one.
Yeah.
But the Americans really, I mean, if they can keep a lot of those guys together, which I think you'll see a lot of those guys on the next team, there may be a few different changes there. But, and then the oldest guy is DJ.
Yeah.
And DJ was probably, you know, him and Cantlay, and they were pretty, pretty darn good. Spieth was good when he was playing in the team setting. You know, he still struggles. He got a tie yesterday, but he still hasn't won a point on his own in a Ryder Cup match.
No.
Or in a President's Cup, which is kind of surprising when you think about somebody like him.
All great stuff, and that's nothing like a little golf during the Joe Schott Hour here. That Ryder Cup is a lot of fun to watch, and I know everybody was really interested in that. That's cool that you had a chance to go down and watch that in person, because not too many people get a chance to do that. We are here at Turbo Agency, and Bob is here, and Jeff, and Coach. And Coach, we've got this game coming up, this exhibition matchup against Northern Michigan on Saturday. I think a lot of people just want to kind of get the background on how that kind of came up late in the schedule.
Yeah, what happened was and first of all, it sounds like just a great experience. That team setting in golf has got to be magical for those athletes to be able to share that sport, because it's so individualized, so personalized, so much just on them, and then to share that with a team in a team setting, it's just got to be just the greatest feeling in the world.
It is, Joe, and that's, I listened a lot because we were driving back on Sunday listening and listening to Stricker, you know, speak about putting those guys together and the commitment they had. Because let's face it, golf is golf. I mean, those guys are playing 11 months out of the year or 10 months out of the year on their own, and they've got big egos, right? They got huge egos. So, you know, obviously there was a lot of talk about Bryson and Koepka and how that was going to work out. And Stricker said it afterwards. He was like, those guys looked right at me and said, we'll play together, you know, whatever we got to do to win if you got to put us out there. So those guys, you know, were able to put their differences aside, obviously, too. And, but you're right. They, you know, you heard it on both ends, even when the Europeans. I mean, you get a lot of guys that never met those players before, but they're always playing and competing against each other, and then they get very close over, mm-hmm. you know, they're together essentially for a week or sometimes longer playing practice rounds prior to that. So.
Yeah, Rory was in tears afterwards in his interview. I watched his interview, and it's that emotion. He says, it's the greatest event in golf, bar none. He said it was the greatest event in golf.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, the game.
Yes,
back to the game. What happened with the game is that normally in a normal setting, teams are allowed to schedule an exhibition game, one against a Canadian opponent or something of that nature. And against a Canadian team, I guess, is what it would be. And that opportunity didn't present itself in a fashionable way, in a timely way, so that teams could schedule and have that opportunity to look at some of the depth on their team and things like that and get out of the gate in that way. So a petition was made quite some time ago, back early summer probably, maybe even late spring, to ask the NCAA to allow an exhibition game in some fashion, whichever fashion they felt warranted, and allow teams to play in an exhibition type setting, a game that didn't count because you're limited to 34 games on your schedule for the most part in the regular season, and this game wouldn't count, so you can kind of do it in measures that work best for you for for your team for your development purposes and preparation. And it came in late, very late, that and we had it worked out in advance that if it did come through and it was granted, that we would play Northern Michigan. We agreed conceptually with Northern on the entire details of the game. And then it did come through. It came through that they granted it. We felt that there was a good chance it was going to happen. And we're using this game strictly for evaluation purposes. We're going to, in talking to Grant, we have the same philosophy on it. We're not going out. We're not playing this game in a win-at-all-cost manner. We're both going to expand our rosters for the game. We've asked the league to, in some ways, allow us the ability to control the settings of the game. We want some power plays, but we don't want a ton of power plays in the game. We want to be able to look and evaluate some of that and teach, use it as a teaching tool, but we don't want those to be the difference in the hockey game. So we're going to have an expanded roster, and it'll be much like an NFL preseason type of a game. That's how we're going to use it, so that we can play some of our top guys some, and then play some of our other guys we really want to get a look at some as well.
Coach, are you going to be hosting the game, or will it be in Marquette?
Yeah, it'll be here. And theoretically, we'll return the game next year. Northern already had their schedule. They have a lot of home dates this year. Next year, they don't have home dates. So if the NCAA allows this past this 1 year, if they grant this as an ongoing thing, we will go there next year and allow them to add this to their ticket package next year and allow that to occur and play there next year. And if not, we'll, you know, other arrangements will be made in some fashion to bring equity to the situation. But it was very easy. It was a very easy discussion with, you know, negotiation to get the game. Both coaches want it. And I think it's going to be really good for both programs.
So will this be maybe a little bit like a early football contest where, you know, coaches say, okay, now we're going to have a power play for Northern, or how is that all?
No, it'll be a game setting. Okay. But we just don't want we would rather the coach, the referees let us know, hey, listen, da-da-da-da-da, and then we'll act accordingly within the bench to the best of their degree. Now, we don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, this is still, we've asked that it be done that way. We'd like the power plays ideally to come out 4-3-3-3 at the end of the game, maybe one each period for each team. But again, it's a game. The officials will call it, and if something flagrant happens, they have to do what they have to do. But again, our deal is there's a lot of players. We have an expanded roster this year. A lot of guys have put in a lot of work, put in a lot of effort to prepare, and I really want to see them in a setting other than practice, and make some determinations going forward for where we're at and where they're at as far as their development.
And are there a lot of guys that are really battling right now and right on the cusp of getting into the lineup but aren't quite there yet that you will have to take a good look at on Saturday?
There's a tremendous amount of competition and parity. There's obviously a few players that are above and beyond in what they do, that have really grasped the understanding of the entire gamut of what's at stake for them personally and for us collectively. And then there's a lot that seem to be more in the line of trying to get that, where do I fit in and how can I fit in and those types of things. And what we hope we don't have any of is that players are saying that, you know, I've done it in the past, it doesn't matter what I do now, you know, I expect to play, because we've expanded our roster. The competition is what we truly want to have at each position. And we want to have that competition. We have to be able to, in some fashion, hold some accountability to the team. But we do have some guys that have really stepped up. You know, we watch all our practices back. We see what our guys do, trying to judge how their brains look. Maybe set a drill in the next practice to see, is that guy really getting it? Is he that far right now? So I've seen some really good growth on some players that'll give them, I think will really give them some confidence in respect to their performance and their ability to elevate themselves.
You know, we're going to take some questions later on, but this is one that popped into my mind as you were talking. How far back does it go for Division I hockey level where practices are videotaped and really analyzed big time? Does it go back to Jeff's days? Does it go back to your days as a player, or even before that?
Yeah, it goes back. But what it is, it was so much it's so much easier now. Normal morning is in the office at 6, finish up practice plan that I was working on the night before with a fresh brain, you know, make some adjustments to that, and then watch video. Watch the previous day's drills, and break those down, and then put together the lineup for the practice, and then move on to the rest of the day. So we video every part of it. We don't so much watch the flow, the warm up portions of it, but the game scenario type stuff, which is probably a good 30 to 50% of our practice. We watch that and really try to evaluate, and get a feel for who can play with who complements who doesn't, be able to show them then visual of things that, you know, to the group that they're doing very well, and then individually to, you know, you got to make some of these plays here. These are, as you see here, over and over, this is continually happening on a rush or something like that, where getting put in an area where you can't make a play and don't make a play and things like that, and say, okay, we need some growth in that area, you know. So we use it a lot. And they, back in the day, it was all VHS, rewind, fast forward, rewind, fast forward. And it was a lot to do it, so probably not many people did do it. Now it's instantaneous. The drills are marked in practice. You know, the reps are marked in practice, so we pull them out.
We're talking with head coach Joe Sean. Jeff Bickish is here from, and Bob Franti from Turbo Agency. We're live here from Turbo Agency, sponsoring our broadcast today of the Joe Sean Hour. We'll have some questions coming up a little bit later on. And just before we take our first break, can you character evaluate on film at all? Because obviously you guys are on the ice watching practices, watching drills. Not everybody sees everything of every player. Is there any character evaluation? This guy's really hustling every drill and stuff like that.
Body language is a lot. Yeah. Body language is a lot. You know, a really good video to watch with regards to that is watch something if you want to be entertained. Gino Uriyama, I think his name is, the Connecticut women's coach, and he has a great YouTube video on body language and on those types of things and what they look for. They have coaches watch the bench, watch back the bench in the game to see who's into it, who's not. And he says, if your body language is bad, you will never, ever get in the game, ever, regardless of who you are. And then he quantifies that and says, but other coaches will say to me, you know, it's pretty easy to do that when you have three All-Americans on your team. And he says, yeah, it might be, but they know if they want to play, there's a standard that you have to go by, and that's a great thing. It's a great video. You know, YouTube is a great thing.
And I've heard you talk a lot about, too, body language and how you've been upset with a certain player, you know, that maybe, you know, is frustrated with himself or the team.
Yeah, or with me.
Or with you, yeah.
And that's probably more of it with the coaches. You know, they want more than they're getting, and our job is to try to really make it so that we don't make the ice time. You know, we don't make the lineup, they do. And that's why we watch practice back, and we have multiple people. And we have guys like Jamie Phillips along with us, and, you know, we surround ourselves with hockey people. There isn't a person with us. If you go back to Mike Stevens, that I can't think of a person that's associated with us that doesn't have a hockey background, that doesn't have the ability to say, coach, you're out in left field on this one, I think.
Jeff?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Dirk. I mean, it is harder on film, but at the same time, I think that the ability for these guys to be down on ice level with them and then be able to watch back.
Yeah.
I mean, you capture a lot in practice just watching players and just watching their attitude, I think, is the big thing. Once they step on the ice, you can tell a kid's attitude, whether he's fired up about being at practice or not. And then once you get into drills where you have to compete or you have to be focused on a system that coach is trying to implement, you know, and some kids are really checked in and some kids aren't as checked in as they should be. So, and the kids that are checked in are obviously the ones that are going to figure it out quicker and execute it, you know, quicker. So that's it. But it's tough. Like coach, you know, he spoke about this before in college, you know, these kids are, you get kids that start going to class at 8 o'clock right until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they really got to be sure, they got to be just as sharp as they were in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some challenging days for them, but that's where as an athlete you got to separate yourself and say, okay, I'm here to work, and we got to make sure we get the most out of this. But that's where I think film is great, is such a great tool, because he can sit down with that same guy that maybe didn't have such a great, you know, day, and he understands that in practice, but you can evaluate some of the mistakes that he made because he wasn't as checked in, or he may have been fatigued that day.
Jeff, what do you remember about your daily routine when it came to middle of the week, classes, and then practice?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing for me is I always try, I mean, there would be days when you had a class that was close to, you know, right to practice time, which you hated because you felt like you were in a rush. So I always tried to coordinate my schedule where I was done by 2 and I could be up there, right? Because we were on the ice at 3:15 or 3:30, I think, is when we would go on. So I would always love to be up there at 2 just so I could get ready and get, you know, things prepared, mm-hmm. you know, especially if it was later on in the week and we were watching film or anything that the coaches had prepared for us, you know, just looking at some of those things prior to and know what we are going to be working on that day, because the coaches would always have, you know, the practice schedule up and what we were going to be going over that day. So, you know, you get prepared, you get equipment ready, you get, you know, things done, you know, to get yourself ready during that time. But from a film standpoint, like Coach said, we had VHS. So a lot of it was more, we probably didn't look a lot at systems. We did after games, I think, but we would evaluate more what we were doing right or wrong on a power play or on a PK. You know, and looking at those snaps, because the technology just wasn't there, what these guys have now, where they can plug in a player's number and see his, they can break that kid down in practice versus not only a game right away. So.
All right. Well, great stuff. We'll have more from the guys from Turbo in just a little bit, and we'll take a break. We'll talk about the preseason poll. Last week was the media day for the CCHA, and we're just excited to get this season going. The Huskies are hosting Northern Michigan in exhibition play coming up on Saturday night. We'll have the broadcast for you here on Mix 93. It's more of the Joe Sean Hour from Turbo Agency right after these.
Save your bucks at Bucko's all month long. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. Coke and Pepsi 2-liter products are 2 for $3. In the food department, Bucko's has a large selection of Woolworth products, Skinny Pete's bakery products, including cinnamon rolls, and a gigantic frozen food section with all of your favorites. And don't forget your BPS koozies. Sales do not include taxes and deposits. Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, where the party starts. Open 7 days a week.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Coke Energy has the energy you want. Energy like and tastes like. So when you feel but need to feel, yeehaw! There's Coke Energy. It's got the taste you absolutely. With B vitamins and caffeine, it's an energy drink that'll leave you saying, boom! Coke Energy, the energy you want, the taste you love.
Welcome back here on Mix 93 WKMJ, the Joe Sean Hour, coming to you from Turvo Agency. And we are happy to be here with Jeff and Bob from the Turvo Agency. And we're in our second segment here. I wanted to get to, before we went too long, the preseason coaches poll. I know coaches don't care about preseason polls really a whole lot, but we do. And Minnesota State, no surprise, comes in at number one. 5 first place votes, 67 points. Bemidji State, 63 points with 1 first place vote. The Huskies come in 3rd in the preseason poll with 55 total with 2 first place votes. Northern Michigan, very closely behind in 4th, followed by Bowling Green, Lake State, Ferris State, and St. Thomas. And Coach, do you have any thoughts on the preseason poll at all? Does it matter at all to you? Do you even look at it?
I do look at it. I mean, it's like everything else, but I don't think it's I don't think it has a lot of quantitative value as far as what I'm concerned. But I will say this: I think that in listening to most teams and looking at most rosters, I believe that coaches, all coaches probably nationally for the most part in a high percentage are really happy with their team because of the extra year that was given to athletes. So you were able to keep a couple players on. We kept two on, Justin Misiak and Mark Sinclair, two very good players. We brought them back for a fifth year. And with that, I know that teams were able to utilize the portal, in some ways to help them. Others, it, you know, may say that it helped them and images that it hurt them, but I believe that, every team right now, I will say that is happy. And as far as the poll goes, I think it's probably, you know, there's a dark horse in there somewhere. But it's probably fairly accurate.
Do you see a lot of parity with the teams and what they have coming back, what they brought in as far as freshmen and everything?
Well, I saw a lot of parity last year. Mm-hmm. So without a whole lot of change going in and with teams in a lot of ways being able to maintain a consistent roster, I think that there should be a lot of parity, and it comes down to, from that point, wins and losses. You know, I look at our team last year and you know, I think you would attest to it. We were a good hockey team. We had trouble in one category, and it wasn't for lack of creating offense, because we created it in every way you could create it. But putting that puck in the net is a whole different ball of wax. You know, it's, you know, you might want to pick your poison. So, you know, you can analyze it as, you know, a goaltender who does everything perfectly and can't stop the puck. We did a lot of things really well and couldn't score a goal. Now, I guess all things being equal, I'll take the goalie who maybe doesn't look good and stops the puck and find a way to put a couple goals in the net. But we have trouble scoring, and it was even more so probably evident in the addition of Tristan Ashbrook at Christmas time as a transfer. And he came in and got some 8, 9, 10 goals on the year for us in the second half of the year. He's a goal scorer. So we're hoping we can help some guys get better at that part of their game. And what we really have to do is they can't be all pretty. You know, we're going to have to grunt some goals out. I don't care how they go in. Take the goalie in with it. It really doesn't matter. We've got to up that fashion in some way.
Bob, as a fan of the Huskies and of hockey in general, how difficult was a season like last year?
Well, it was very difficult. You get anticipation to go to watch some hockey, and then all of a sudden it's pulled out from under you and you're kind of lost, and listening on the radio is good, but it's not like being at the game.
Right.
So I think the fans that have been away for a year and a half, now by the time the season starts, there's going to be some full houses.
Yeah, everybody keeps talking about it. I've never seen so much bragging on Facebook and social media as I did this year of, I got my season tickets, I got my season tickets, I got my season tickets. I mean, there's a lot of buzz for Tech hockey and hockey in general, I think, just getting back in the rinks.
Now, to add one thing to that, I think one thing that was very important for us is that we had freshmen and sophomores even that never got to experience the Track A here that we have, that being here and being in the community for that part of the summer. And because as we all know, so many of them evolve over their careers to staying here the entire summer and making quick trips home because it's such an incredible place to be. And with that, I think they build a little bit more onus, a little bit more pride, a little bit more self-awareness in the area. They're playing for a little bit more than maybe, because they meet some people at the golf course and they get more ingrained in the community, and I think that was a big thing for us.
Well, it's a Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93. Even though we are remote today at Turbo Agency, we still are taking your emails. If you have a question for Coach Sean, you can email it to us at the normal email address, dj@themix93.com. So as you look at the preseason poll, Coach, and, you know, Minnesota State, Bemidji, us, Northern Michigan, Bowling Green, Lake State, Ferris State, St. Thomas, with so many guys coming back and the teams being very similar as they were last year, and so much senior or at least veteran leadership out there, will the differences be more than maybe other years of some of the younger guys? You know, you always say that you can't count on your freshmen right away. You know, you've got to count on your leaders, your veterans. But could they be the difference in some of these teams because everybody has so many great players coming back?
I don't think you'll see that so much. I think that what you'll see is some more consistent lineups and you know, maybe in some ways, because to be in the lineup on some of these teams, you're going to have to be really good.
Right.
It's going to be a little bit harder, I think, for freshmen, that would normally get a chance to play because on a lot of teams, because I know we're for the first time, we've been a little bit different where we've been for the last few years in this, you know, little rebuild, counting on people to come in and impact for us. And we're not at that stage right now. We're at the stage where if you're in the lineup and you're a freshman, you're offering something to us, or else we'd have someone else in the lineup that's a veteran. So I think what you'll see is more depth in the lineups is what you'll see.
That game coming up on Saturday against Northern Michigan is a 7:07 start. We'll have the broadcast for you here on Mix 93. We're talking about the preseason poll. Colin Swoyer was named on the preseason all CCHA team. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you during the media day was, it seems like there's very few players in college hockey that make a great step every year. Tanner Carroll was the one that always came to mind. He got better every single year he played. A lot of guys are really good at the start and, you know, maybe go up a little bit. Colin Swoyer seems to be one of those guys that has gotten better every single year.
Yeah, he's improved. You know, one thing with Tanner, and I think you could say about him, is probably his best quality is his ability to, he's always learning. He's always learning. So I think, you know, you can say skating, you can say, you know, shooting, you can say whatever, but his willingness and ability to learn, his intelligence is his best quality. So he's still getting better every year. He's still improving. I agree with you that Colin has done that. I think he had a good degree of skill coming in. You know, one surprise, not a surprise for me, it's not a surprise because everybody's voting for this on what they see, but I would be surprised personally at the end of the year, all things, you know, health being considered in injuries and things like that, Trenton Bliss is going to have a just incredible year. I think he has the ability to challenge for the scoring lead in the league. He's a two-way player for us now. He plays every situation, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-6, 6-on-5. He's a tremendous hockey player on anybody's team in the country. So, I think that he'll, at the end of the year, I'd be surprised if he's not in contention for, I mean, I would think that he's going to be a favorite for an all-league position, and I think he's even capable of being player of the year.
Any of you guys want to chime in? Just let me just go ahead and ask.
Hey, Coach, you want to discuss the makeup of the coaching staff for this year? There was a change from the prior year.
Yeah, sure. Last spring and in the last couple of years, and talking quite a bit to Dallas about you know what he wanted and what his goals were as a coach. Going hard after a head coaching position was important. You know, he's in his 40s and never having that on your resume is a difficult thing, to be a Division I college coach without ever having that. I don't think I'd be here right now if I hadn't had a good junior run, a good, you know, much as your brother, you know, much as Pat, you know, it'd be the same type of thing that he's having success at the level he's at and coaching at a level and running a program. It's completely different. So for his growth, that was a step for him. We had had an individual in here that's been basically, for lack of a better term, groomed to be the next person to come in and take the position. He's passionate about the program. That's Tyler Shalast. He's passionate about the program. He fits so many boxes of what I felt we needed. He has the trust of the players because of the weight room and things like that, because he's really a confident for them. You know, they believe in talking to him that they're going to get shot straight and things. So he was the logical fit to go in. Now on top of that, then you put in his ties to Alberta and British Columbia to reestablish our roots. I've said many times, if we think we're going to out recruit Minnesota kids from the Minnesota schools on a consistent fashion, you know, we're out of our mind. We just aren't being very intelligent. There is a pecking order, perceived or unperceived, it doesn't matter, within the United States on recruiting, on where they think where athletes and more important advisors / agents feel is the profile programs. Now we want to get ourselves up to be a profile program, so they say, hey, right there, that's a place where they, you know, I'm gonna, because the agents want to make money off of these kids. but we needed to get back into branching out into Alberta, into British Columbia. We were kind of drifting away from that. And so when I had the opportunity, I made sure I went after and fulfilled that. And Tyler's paying an instant dividends for us. He's a hardworking, passionate individual that gets after it. He's not afraid of hard work. He lives right. And so we've already gotten dividends out of that with some early commitments that we've been able to land out of that area that we haven't been able to get the last couple of years. And on top of that, we want to get, continue our recruiting overseas and upgrade our, just to broaden our base. And then whatever we get out of our American schools, we're not relying on that and trying to beat Minnesota with kids that Minnesota schools didn't want. As an example, and that may not be a fair analogy, but I think we do a good job developing our guys, our work ethic, our skill package and things like that. And, I think for us it comes down to a talent base to start with. And Tyler added to that. So that's how the change came and how Tyler got put into that position.
Well, with the exhibition game coming up against Northern Michigan, you were mentioning that a lot of the younger kids are players other than the big veterans will be getting more ice time for evaluation. We'll ask Coach about some of those kids that are on the team now coming in as a first-year Husky, and we'll also answer some of your questions. That's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour live from Turbo Agency in downtown Hancock on this Monday morning. Thank you very much for being with us. And again, if you have a question for Coach Schaan, you can email it to us. DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Schaan Hour continues on Mix 93 after these.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup. Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch. St. Louis, Missouri.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
What's up? This is Riley. And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grilled Chicken Club sandwich is the Applewood bacon. It's savory, and then it's also kind of sweet. And I think the combination of bacon with chicken and Colby Jack cheese, it just really knocks it out of the park.
Hey, I'm Tanea. A little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grilled Chicken Club sandwich is the chicken. It's so juicy. It's grilled to perfection. I'm going to devour this sandwich.
Order the Grilled Chicken Club sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Welcome back. Here on Mix 93 WKMJ, it's the Joe Schaan Hour coming to you from Turbo Agency. We love it. The whole crew here, Marsha, Mike, Becky? Becky. And then, of course, Jeff Mickish and Bob Franti are here back in the conference room. We love being here. We always open up the season with the Joe Schaan Hour here at the Turbo Agency, and we can't thank them enough for everything they do for us at Mix 93 and for the community, a pillar of the community, the Turbo Agency here in downtown Hancock. The game coming up this weekend is an exhibition against Northern Michigan, and it's a 7:07 start at the John McGinnis Student Ice Rink. I can't wait. We'll be broadcasting the game. I know one of the questions that came in, I can answer for you, Coach. They're asking, will it be on Flow Hockey TV? It will not. That exhibition game will not be on the video stream. So we will have it on Mix 93, but it will not be on the video stream. So keep that in mind. Coach, we wanted to ask you a little bit about, you said some of these young kids are going to get more playing time for evaluation. Can you talk about some of these freshmen as we get ready to see them in a Michigan Tech uniform for the first time?
Sure. I really like to comment. Turvo Agency, Pillar of the Community.
That's right.
Pillar of the Community. That'd be good on a sign out front. So I think the most, the players that have the best chance of being most impactful, we probably have a freshman in there that will, right from the start, get an opportunity to play, and that'd be Grant Doctor on defense. He's a tremendous player. He was the top player. I think we've had the last three top defensemen out of the North American League, but Grant was, I believe, the runner-up for Player of the Year in Minnesota high school hockey.
Right.
So you can take the last stuff I said and just throw that right out. But we've had him recruited for a while. And Grant is a little bit of an undersized defenseman. I'm trying to liken him to who he'd be. He's probably Mitch Rehnke-like in some ways, a little bit smaller than Mitch Rehnke, but his puck awareness and prowess is similar to that. He can make a play and he can get a puck through. He can put it to the net. So he's going to get time because he will be able to create offense for us. And I really enjoy the way that he's been working and competing and the questions he's asking and things like that. So I think you'll get a good chance of seeing him.
So can I go back to him really quick and ask you a question? Because from a novice point of view, you look at Mitch Rehnke, you brought him up, and he, it was so awesome watching him come up the ice because he saw the ice differently than everybody else. Does Grant have a little bit of that where he's seeing things differently than other people? He anticipates where the puck should go before it even is on its way there.
Well, I don't know what makes that characteristic, but he has that it factor for sure. He can make a play in the offensive zone like a forward, and that might be a little bit of the difference between he and Colin. Colin may not make as many plays inside, especially like top of the circles down in the offensive zone. Certainly can control the play from the blue line, where Grant can make a play from anywhere. He can dominate a 3-on-3 situation and things like that. His biggest limiting factor will be his ability to, until he gets stronger and builds up his strength base more, will be his ability to defend some of the bigger men that he'll face nowadays. But he's got that it factor for sure with the puck. You'll see that evidently right off the get-go. The other three players I think that we have that I think you'll see and you'll notice the impact are transfer students. They'll make a huge impact for us. We've got Matt. I see it different all the time, but I'm going to say Quercia.
Okay.
I call him Quercia. I've asked him, how do you actually say it? I want to say it right. He says it's Italian. I believe it's Quercia.
Right.
So anyways, Matt, and we call him Q, and he's a big 6'3", 15-pound transfer from Boston University. More to his game than I thought we'd get. I thought we'd get a role player that we could trust in the, you know, in a bottom of the lineup type of role. But he's showing a little bit more than that. He's showing a little bit of chemistry on different things. We'll see when it all shakes out. But I see a little bit more out of him than what his numbers from the past dictate. And he's going to get an opportunity to show that. And sometimes you're at other schools and you're just kind of limited because you're locked into a, you know, and it happens to all of us, you're locked into a your own little cupboard. But we're going to give him a chance to grow a little bit. Michael Caro on defense. He was an alternate captain at Boston College. Good friend of Trenton Bliss's. This kid's smooth. He's a smooth skating, defend first type of player. I recruited him back before he went to Boston College.
That's right.
And now we finally got him here, and this is a great kid. He could be, probably should be wearing a letter for us. He's mature, quiet, big, strong. You're going to immediately notice, and he glides. He's maybe even a little bit better than Leiper in his defensive, one-on-one. If you're getting by him, it's not because of his feet, it's because he made he over pursued or something like that. He's got tremendous feet on him. And so you're going to notice him right away. He's a great player. He's going to get a lot of minutes for us. And Tyrone Bronte from Huntsville. This kid's quick. He's fast. So you can put him, if you want to put together a speed line, a line that can motor, you know, we have that ability to put him with like a Misiak and you're going to get flat out top end out of these guys. He can quickly make a defenseman's mistake, a wrong pivot or crossover work against them. Has some vision on the ice, and so this kid right here, you're going to see he was an all league all WCHA, all freshman team last year. He can play. He's a good player. So as he acclimates to what we're trying to do and things like that, you're going to see impact out of him, but he should be able to contribute to us. And I was able to get a lot of good information on him because he was coached by an individual that I coached growing up for 3 years. So that helps a lot in knowing the kid and how you know what pushes his buttons and things like that. So he's going to be very well. We got great competition in that. I think that Mark Sinclair's come back and he seems to have a different look even to him. You know, he's really got a focus to him. So, you know, we're hoping, and his work ethic's good, he looks good on the ice. So we have great competition there as well. But those would be the guys that I think have the best chance of immediately impacting and jumping out. But there's other guys. I think Stauber's showing very good growth with us. He's an intelligent kid. Trevor Russell, he's a big, strong, size, strength defenseman that moves well. We want to get him more aggressive in his defending. Not that he can't, but I think right now he's trying not to offend anybody, you know what I mean? And we want him to get to the point where guys respect him for a compete level, but he has the ability as well. So I think he's a good player. Alex Nordstrom showing ability to be a very good player for us. He can skate. He's another guy that can motor for us. He has a lot of really good innate instincts with the puck. He's got a good compete level. So with him, it's just a matter of time, in my opinion, before he certainly has a top six capability down the road for us. And as he learns the game, just I think he's probably going to be very similar to Tanner Carroll. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'd love it if he got that top end, but I think he's going to continue to learn because of his work ethic and attention to detail. He's a tremendous kid. Marcus Pedersen will get ice time. He'll play this year. We'll see to what degree. He can score. He's a Swedish player. Right now, he's used to the big ice a little bit, maybe too used to the big ice. And
things happening too quick for him as far as contact and stuff?
I think it's more, yeah, I would say that because I think he's more engaged in a transition game than a force game. So transition, whatever you're, because in those big oval rinks in Europe, you know, they're not only longer and wider, but they're not narrowed like an egg, you know what I mean? They're big. And so with them, it's so often getting back and playing for transition out of your own zone once you have a breakdown on a forecheck or things like that, where we're always trying to make something happen on the smaller rinks. So having never played in the USHL or anything like that, never playing over here, that's the acclimation that he's going for right now, because things are happening quick. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll have a good chance of getting in right away at some point and playing some minutes as we go for him to develop as well.
Jeff, any thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. That was one of the things I had marked down with the transfers, what, you know, how those kids are fitting in, you know, with the group. You know, back when I played, there wasn't a lot of that going on. Every now and then you'd get a guy that would switch, you know, end up with a different program for various reasons. But, you know, this is obviously a new wave with what's going on in mm-hmm. college hockey. So I guess from a chemistry standpoint, you're obviously looking for the guys that, you know, on paper, or I shouldn't say on paper, but on video, that you think are going to fit well because of how they play. But there's a lot that goes into finding out about the character of the kid off the ice as well.
Yeah, it's a great point. And that is probably more important than anything else, because if a player's leaving someplace, as you know, it used to be immediate red flag, like what's going on, you know, we really have to do our research. With the transfer portal now, so much of it is either less impactive, and my decision is an agent calling and saying, hey, listen, because what they're doing is they're shopping. They're just shopping and playing and trying to land a spot. But with Maddie and with Michael Carroll, those came through teammates that they played with that are on our team, and those guys said, hey, listen, this guy's available. I can, you know, he's in the portal. We can talk to him, and he'd be a great addition to our team. Tyrone Bronte is a little different. I was contacted on that one by the Huntsville coaching staff because he had an interest in us, and it was an easy fix for me because a player, like I said, a former player of mine had coached him, a player that I trust a great deal, and we had always liked him when we played against him. As you know, he created a lot of stuff. What Huntsville was able to create, he did a lot of it. So, but it comes down to that. We need the right mix. We've gone through having a tampered culture a bit, and we've come out of that in a big way, and we want to make sure we maintain that.
Right.
It's a great question, a great point.
The other, obviously, we talked a lot about the young guys, but I guess from, you know, from your standpoint, when you take a look at your depth, I guess, do you see any of those guys fitting your top four on the back end, or your top six, I guess, up front, or where kind of do you see your lineup right now going into next year? I know you got a lot of guys returning, so probably a lot of things look similar.
Yeah, you asking about the transfers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that... I think Carroll can play anywhere in our top, in our defensive core, in our top four. He's not as dynamic as, let's say, a Grant Doctor as a new player with the puck, but he does make a good first pass, and he is responsible with it, and he is highly intelligent. So he can play on the power play and do things like that, run a certain type of power play and things. Corsia, as I mentioned, we're gonna work Matty in. We're trying him right now with different combinations, but him and Trenton Bliss. Trenton likes to play with a bigger forward. When Trent played for your brother, in Green Bay, he really liked playing with, I believe it was Alex Dunn was his name, but Dunner, who signed early, he went to Clarkson. We recruited him as well with Trenton. So he likes playing with a bigger centerman, if possible, and I'm seeing some chemistry. You know, you got Matty is a righty going to Trent, a lefty. Bliss is a lefty, so it puts the puck more on Bliss's stick. A very big thing for us is that we need more production out of the middle. We had very little production last year out of the middle, out of our middle position. So everything was coming in. We generate offense, but it was coming off the wings. We want to give those guys, we need someone that backs them off a little bit. We need to have a little of that. So now with Arvid, who really emerged 16 or 18 points last year in the second half alone, big, strong guy. Matt's another very much like Arvid, big, strong guy. We've got Bronte, who's got some explosive speed. Like, again, if he has a step on you, he's going, and he's blowing by you. He makes a lot of plays in practice with just his outright speed. And Logan Ganey's showing some good growth there. We're playing a little bit with Logan Pietola and Nick Nardella on the wing right now, because they can do some things on the wing, but we want to strengthen our center ice position in some ways. So we're trying Parker Stretzky at the center ice position. He's been a centerman. It's just been a matter of time, and he seems to be really energized right now. He seemed to, you know, being here in the spring and things seem to really help him. And so we're seeing a little bit different Parker Stretzky. He still needs some meat on his frame, but he's got an incredible brain. Yeah. So, I think to answer your question, those guys will be playing up in the lineup in significant roles for us on special teams and things.
And just really quick before we go to break again, it really changes the relationship of the coach and the recruitee or the kid that is getting recruited, knowing that it could come back around again and they could be on your team even if you don't get them the first time. Does that change the dynamics there at all? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, do you think where it used to be, he signed somewhere else, it's over most part.
Yeah, well, I think we don't really burn bridges anyways. You know, like mm-hmm. I'll give an example. Ashton Calder, a player that we recruited out of, he went on the portal. And so we went after him, like everybody probably in the country went after Ashton Calder. He's a very good player, a local kid from Sault Ste. Marie who wanted to try something different, and is not going back to Lake State. We probably got in too late on it, but the reason we were able to have a talk with him is because we didn't burn bridges in the past. And you know, if a guy chooses something else, they choose that. We're not going to scream and holler, oh, you're making a mistake, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of it is how you treat them in the past, but even more of that, I mean, you could certainly have a guy who says, I never want to play for him. I had a horrible recruiting experience. We don't want to ever have that. But more of it is where you're recruiting your players from and the help you get from them in selling your program. Like, if a player's not going to recommend someone to come here, we're in the wrong spot. Right. I mean, they need a different coach because the players have to sell your program. I say a lot, the meeting after the meeting is the meeting. What's going on in that room between that group is really what's going on with your team. No matter how egotistical I am as a coach, what's going on in that room amongst those players and their perception of what's going on is reality to them. So we need to make it so that they trust us. They don't have to love us, but they trust us that we have their best interests. We treat them well. Our administration really does a good job of helping us with that. What do you guys need? What do you need? You know, like, and then from that point on, it's your players saying, be a great place. It's a good place. They care about you. They'll coach you hard, but they care about you, and you'll be treated well.
Very good. We'll take a break. We'll be back with some of your questions, even though we've answered a couple of them already. We'll have a couple more coming up in just a little bit. It's the Joe Schoenhauer. We are coming to you live from Turvo Agency in downtown Hancock. Back with more after this.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted!
Please drink responsibly.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invite you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, good news travels fast when it comes to Upward Orthodontics.
Well, you know, it's been interesting. My wife and I, we do our best to have a lunch or two during the week. So we're out and people are saying, oh, I heard your spiel on the radio about sitting up straight. It's been kind of wild to hear the folks. And we've had a great time with our aligner cases. We have control over it here. And so we say, first tray, next day. And so the next day, they got an aligner on their teeth and those things are moving.
Dr. Darren Ward at Upward Orthodontics in the Razorback Center, Houghton, because now's your time to smile.
Market declines, oil prices, today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Give us a call at 482-8680 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Welcome back here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We only have a couple of minutes, so let's get to our questions that we have not answered. We did answer the one about Flo Hockey TV. That game or exhibition this Saturday will not be on the Flo Hockey. It will be on Mix 93, Pasty.net, and the rest of the games will be. So I know a lot of people were asking about that. Next question, Coach, really quick, if you could talk about the numbers for Michigan Tech hockey. Normally go 1 through 35 or right around there. Rarely we have seen NHL-type numbers, you know, in the 50s, 60s. But Bronte, wearing number 55, somebody wants to ask about that a little bit.
Well, it's a simple answer. We have 32 guys in our roster, and we only had, I think, 30 jerseys. And we had to get a jersey anyway, so we asked him what number he wanted. The numbers he wanted were taken by the players, and so we had to have a jersey made anyways. The reason I expanded the roster, I've talked about in the past, is twofold, but primarily they aren't allowing for, I mean, it's a forfeit this year if you can't play a game because of COVID or whatever, and I didn't want to expose our university to that potential. So the more numbers gives you the better chance of having enough players to play in a game. So we expanded the roster, and it's gone well so far.
Somebody else, you touched on this already, Coach, but somebody else wanted to ask you, you being from Sault Ste. Marie, what were your thoughts on Calder going to North Dakota?
Well, I don't know his dynamic with Lake Superior. You know, I didn't get into that. Don't care to know about it. But him going to North Dakota is you can never fault an individual. I won't now because I think they have a great environment to offer a young man just like we do. We have a great environment, and they have a tremendous coach. I think Brad Berry is a package coach. Their staff is incredible. So I think they're getting everything there. I would never say that was a bad choice because that isn't. There are other schools where I'd say make sure you do your research, but that's not one of them. That's not one of them.
One of the questions that just came in, Coach, they were listening to you talk about wanting some of the defensemen to get a little bit ornier maybe angrier in the corners and stuff during practice. Have any fights or any altercations broken out yet in developing in the preseason here?
No, but we're bigger back there, and we do compete. We are competing in practice, so. What we need here, and I think what every team needs, and I think Mick would certainly attest that, is hard skill. You can be hard and not have skill, and you're only half of the picture, and then it's, okay, I'm hard, I do everything, but you don't have skill, you don't make plays. Mm-hmm. Or you can have skill and not compete, and you look really good in the flow drills, you know, that part of practice, but when you get in the corners, rubbing's racing, and you're not willing to rub at all. So we're looking for hard skill, and we are getting that out of our group. And the more we do that, the more they'll fight through bodies, and the more they'll get into that hard ice area. And hopefully it gets those grunt goals, those, you know, 10, 15 grunt goals on the year that you're saying, who got that one? And he got it. Well, good for him, because he wouldn't even go near the net last year.
Game time is 7:07. We'll be on the air at 6:30. Tickets are available. Huskies hosting Northern Michigan in exhibition play. Bob, anything else for the Cook? Thanks so much for having us here today. Really appreciate it.
Nothing other than good luck, and we look forward to a great season from the Huskies.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Jeff, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And Dirk, it's always a great time getting together before the season kicks off.
Thanks for all your questions, folks, and we appreciate it. And we'll have another Joe Schott Hour next Monday morning, 10 o'clock, right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Again, game time 7:07 on Saturday night at the John McInnes Student Ice Arena. Michigan Tech Hockey is here.